What up, dude? And welcome to the Kurt Steele Podcast, your trusted source for Detroit Lions news and rumors. If you're new to the channel, thanks for stopping by. Do me a favor, subscribe to the channel, like the video, and share it with fellow Detroit Lions fans just like yourself. Today is Wednesday, June 7th, 2023. Hump day, baby. On today's show, I recap day one of the Lions minicamp and look at some free agents that Detroit could consider signing before the start of the season. So let's get after it. It's time to start the show. Welcome back. Hey, head coach Dan Campbell opened up Detroit's minicamp with a press conference yesterday. To note, Campbell mentioned that several Lions players are being held out or limited with injuries. David Montgomery and Malcolm Rodriguez continue to sit after getting injured early on in phase three of OTAs. The biggest headline out of the Dan Campbell press conference was his comments about Jared Goff. He said Goff was a better quarterback in Detroit than he was in LA, saying that Goff is asked to do more in the Lions offense than in the Rams system. Campbell didn't mince his words, saying Goff was light years better now than when he walked in the building. Now, much of Goff's maturity as a quarterback in the last couple of seasons can be attributed to his relationship with offensive coordinator Ben Johnson. Johnson has made it a point to implement what Goff does well in Detroit's offense. Now, Goff took the Rams offense to the Super Bowl. Well, the Rams, period. When asked about the fact that if he really thought that Goff was better in Detroit, Campbell said he's got a real good grasp of what we're doing, where the issues are, and where the problems are. And that's something that we really wanted to get good at for him to get good at and he wanted to get good at, and he's worked at it and he's improved. For more of Campbell's comments on Goff, head over to sidelinereport.com, man, and check out the article that I wrote about this concert, about his comments on the press conference. Hey, do me a favor, subscribe to the channel, like the video, and share it. Head over to kurtsteele.com. All of my content is right there on the homepage. Links to it, to my content over at Sideline Report, Yard Barker, and of course, right here to the podcast for Kurt Steele. All right. Now, speaking of Goff, we're going to head into the OTAs. Goff played at the pajama party yesterday. It was better than what it has been in the previous OTA sessions. He was locked in with the receivers and tight ends that he's used to. So St. Brown, Josh Reynolds, Khalif Raymond, Brock Wright, those guys he has chemistry with is definitely better yesterday than it was in previous days. Now, he's still building chemistry with some of the newer skill players. But, yeah, I know who we got to talk about. J-Mo and Goff timing issues continued in individual drills, but were better in team drill. J-Mo was effective in seam routes, and it was just a better showing from Williams in the actual team drills. Now, I read this article, and it said that some of the issues with Goff and Williams is Williams' speed and athletic ability. It causes a timing issue with Goff because he cannot anticipate J-Mo's moves because he's just faster than any other player that Goff has thrown to. So it will get easier with time, but Goff and Williams did make it a point yesterday to make sure they worked on timing, redoing drills that they did not connect on between reps. So they're still working on it. So it's a work in progress. Switching to the running backs, Craig Reynolds was the first on the running back depth chart with Monty Steele being out. And, of course, Jahmyr Gibbs was working his way in there, rotating in with the wide receivers and tight ends during individual drills. The offensive line, well, we know the offensive line is good, but most of the veterans are not participating in OTAs as it's kind of working out. We know the injury with Frank Ragnow. He's going to be sitting out with that foot injury. I don't expect him to see Frank Ragnow, or Big Bank Frank, I'd like to call him, into a training camp. Well, we go over to the tight ends. Brock Wright, we've already mentioned him, saying he's locked in with Jared Goff. But the rookie, Sam Laporta, continues to impress. And there are people who are projecting him to be the starter by the end of the season. And I will have to concur with that. So let's head over to the defensive side of the ball. Now, reports of Goff's struggles in camp may not be about Jared Goff and be more about the upgraded secondary. Goff said in his presser after practice yesterday that it was harder for wide receivers and tight ends to get open because the new secondary is stickier than last year's. Cam Sutton and C.J. Gardner-Johnson have made a big difference in the back end of the Lions defense. The unit is communicating better as a unit. They're talking smack while making plays. Now, Dan Campbell said he doesn't mind the trash talk as long as it doesn't interfere with play on the field. And you know Aaron Glenn's going to have those guys pumped up and ready to go in that back end of the Lions defense. Just happy to see that in the initial stages, because we know no contact yet, they're out there doing their business. Now, Derek Barnes and Anzalone have started at the Will and Mike linebackers at the moment. Now, rookie Jack Campbell is flashing and may earn some reps with the ones down the line. Just to note that James Houston was working out with the outside linebackers yesterday, but it seems to be experimental. Talking with Calvin Shepard on the sidelines, doesn't seem like he's going to be moving to outside linebacker. He's still going to keep his role as a edge rusher. Speaking of the pass rush, now, this should be a no-brainer. Hutchinson, Romeo Okwara, and the commish dominated the backup O-line. Christian Covington, the newcomer, was the starting nose tackle as Aleem McNeil moves to more of a defensive tackle three technique. So you're going to have Covington at the nose tackle right now with the ones. Isaiah Bugs is working his way back into the lineup. He sat out last week of the OTA, so now he's kind of working his way back into shape. So look for more Isaiah Bugs coming down the line. Switching over to special teams, man. Riley Patterson won the kicking competition yesterday, and that thing was something to watch. They brought Riley Patterson back on from trade with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Now, Romo has been doing his thing, bombing kicks from 60 yards plus. So the kicking competition is going to be still wide open until really training camp. So let's look out for that. Do me a favor, man. Y'all know what I need you to do, man. Y'all need to just subscribe to the channel. Like the video, share it, go to curstill.com, man. All of my links for all of my content and all of my social media are right there on curstill.com. Let's talk about these free agents. I recently wrote an article over there on Yardbarker, man, about some free agents the Lions should look at signing before the start of the season. I'm not saying that these are, oh man, Kurt over there at the Curstill podcast said these are the guys that the Lions should absolutely sign. This is absolutely not the case. These are some guys that may make a difference and may be able to add some depth and some veteran presence on the Lions team. First up is center Brent Jones. Brent Jones, former Alabama player, has spent the last 7 years playing for the Tennessee Titans. The veteran offensive lineman can provide experienced depth at the center position. Pro Bowl center Frank Ragnow announced at his charity event earlier this spring that his injured toe was inoperable, and he would have to pretty much play through the pain probably for the rest of his career. Now, the Lions lost their backup center, Evan Brown, to free agency. He went to the Seahawks because he filled in really, really good for, man, we know, for Frank Ragnow in 2021. Played the majority of the season because Frank sat out with that injured toe back 2 years ago. And Brown did fill in last year for Vitae, or, you know, Big V, when he was out with a back injury at the guard position. But if you look at it now, he's gone, and Brown's gone, and Vitae's back in the lineup. But if Frank goes down, you know, there's not a lot of veteran presence at the center position. Now, Graham Glasgow, the veteran guard who played in Detroit and went to Denver for a few years, he's back on the roster. But he's coming off injury as well. So Jones could add that veteran depth, like I said, man. And he probably wouldn't cost that much. He's a guy that the Lions could consider signing because he won't break the bank on the offensive line. Now, a guy that could break the bank because he's going to cost you a little money is guard Trey Turner. Now, it may be a stretch for Turner to join the roster, considering that Vitae is coming back from injury and Glasgow coming back to the Lions, like I just said. However, Turner would be in a significant upgrade over the current veteran guards on the roster. Now, he missed 7 games in 2020. when he was out in LA due to a groin injury. But Turner has an impressive track record. He is a five-time Pro Bowler when he was playing right down here where I'm, you know, I live at in Carolina. So that's one got to keep, you know, watch on Trey Turner. He played in Washington for the Commanders last season. The last guy I want to look at is a guy that was on the Lions radar, and we were looking at this, and it's quarterback Teddy Bridgewater. Now, there was reports in April linking a contract offer from the Lions to Teddy Bridgewater. Nothing was completed. Now, Ben Johnson in a recent presser said he's happy with the current quarterback position as far as the backups are right now. But it's worth noting, man. Come on. Y'all know what it is. The Lions backup quarterback room, aside from Jared Goff, or the quarterback room period, lacks experience. It just does. I mean, if you lose Jared Goff, man, it's going to be a world of hurt for the Lions at the backup quarterback positions. Now, Teddy Two Gloves has an impressive record as a starter. You know what I'm saying? It's not great, but it's, you know, he's has a winning record. 65 starts, 33 wins versus 32 losses. Got 15,000 career passing yards, 75 touchdowns, only 47 interceptions. You look at that, it's okay. But it's a significant upgrade for what we have at the backup quarterback position right now. Bridgewater is a highly respected quarterback in the league and will be a valuable addition for in my opinion. I'm not telling you that the Lions should do this, but I think he will be a valuable addition to the Lions quarterback room. Because the current backup to Jared Goff right now is Nate Sudfeld. Now, Sudfeld is only a year younger than Teddy Bridgewater. Bridgewater's 30. Sudfeld's 29. Sudfeld has 37 career passes since joining the league in 2017. Bringing Bridgewater on the team, for me, would add credibility and to that quarterback room and provide insurance just in case Goff goes down to injury. To read the full article, head over to yardbarker.com and check out all the content I posted over there, but read the full article at yardbarker.com and see what else I had to say about these free agents and why the Lions should sign them. So, once again, man, subscribe to the channel. You know, I'm a part of the Proud Nation family. I was a member of the Detroit Lions and the Proud Forever Nation, but join the Kurt Steele family, man. It's all one pride right here. It's all love right here on the channel, man. So, thank you again for joining me right here on the Kurt Steele podcast. Like the video, subscribe to the channel, head over to KurtSteele.com. You can find additional content and the links for my content at Sideline Report and Yard Barker, and the links to all my social media platforms, man. Do me one favor, because this is one thing that Kurt always wants you to do. Whatever you do in life, you got to boss up, ball out, and be the best version of you that you can be. This is Kurt Steele, and I will holler at you real soon.